podcast, the English language for Off-Cover Note podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I still haven't caught the coronavirus.
No, that's good, isn't it? I don't think either. Well, touch wood, I don't think neither of us have it, which is nice.
No, yeah, I am now going to cough, though. That was not planned.
Okay, well, are you somehow in lockdown or something at work? Are they sending people home to...
Nobody... It's only about, like, 12 of us in my work, yeah. So there's nothing really to...
I'm genuinely considering getting a cheap flight to Milan for a day or so, just so I can get 2 days of working from home.
They can't. You see that they've stopped all flights to Italy. Czech government.
Oh, have they?
Can't fly to Italy right now.
Got a car.
Bella,
I'm off.
Bella.
Yeah. So that was Corona Cast. What have we got in the actual pod? Because we're back to not stories, we're back to genuine football is nearly upon us.
Football's back, baby. Yes.
Almost,
so,
yeah.
Just got Sunday to wait until we take on the mighty Banik Sokolov in our first league game
after
the break.
Looking forward to that. We'll be looking forward to Ustin Adlabem away in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll be taking a brief look back on how we've been as a team or a squad over the last few weeks with the friendlies and so on.
And we've obviously got Hot or Not and Beer of That Podcast. So, without further ado...
A beer of a podcast, David, with a twist.
Oh, really? Right, I look forward to that. What should we do first? Should we look back on what has been?
Let's do that.
Okay, after this... So, pre-season is over and done. How did we do? How many games did we play? Do you remember?
It'll be something like 14?
12 games.
Oh, that's close.
12 games played, yeah. How many wins?
I think we had 7 wins.
7 wins, well done.
Nice.
How many did we lose?
Okay, so 3?
Very good, yeah. And drew the other 2. Excellent work. If you can name who those 3 losses were to, I'd be impressed.
Okay. Well, are we counting? Are we counting Lada Boleslav?
They list that as a draw, I think.
Okay.
Bear in mind, I haven't written down who these 3 losses were to.
Oh,
I can think of 2 of them.
All right, Pardubice.
Yes.
Because we played them.
We were there last week. Yeah.
Did we lose to some Slovaks?
We did lose to some Slovaks.
Did we lose to? We didn't lose to Nitra.
It was the other lot.
Skalica.
Yeah. It was Skalica.
Lost 1-0.
No, we got battered by a team 5-1 as well.
Oh, we got battered by Trenčín in the Winter League.
Yes, and then, yes, you're right. I think we lost 1-0 to Skalica, I think. So, yeah, so not bad. Goals 4, 33. Goals against, 22. Hashtag swashbuckling.
That's worrying, to be honest, the amount of goals conceded there.
That's what I was going to bring up, actually. Goals for, 33 in 12 games, very nice. 22 against in 12 games, not so good. It really has been one of these where we absolutely... Like, going forwards, we're swiping people aside, but we are very loose at the back.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of this is... Like, have we really been playing much of a stable back four, though?
No, this is actually something I was going to talk about. We have switched between a 3 and a 4 a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Our goalkeeper distribution has been interesting because Floda was injured for a while.
Yeah.
Actually, Schuster was injured. We have Martin Dolezal in goal for the Mladá Boleslav game, which was interesting. But yeah, our goalkeepers have been... what I've actually got, I went through all the inter-season friendly things and I made a tally of who played a 45 minutes here and there in goal.
So you don't have to, listener.
So you don't have to. Yeah, so anyone who got 45 minutes or more got a check mark.
Mm-hmm.
And Schuster and Floda both have the same number because Floda was injured for quite a lot of the time. So, and Schuster started a few of the early games anyway just to see what he was up to. So we haven't had a set goalkeeper.
Yeah.
We've played either a back four or a back three.
Mm-hmm.
So there has been a lot of chopping and changing at the back.
What's been that rotation of the back? Has it just been everybody evenly, or have we always had somebody there like as a pivot?
Like
Christopher
or
something like that?
Well, I've actually built a first 11 of the most used players.
Glorious.
Over the friendly period.
You'll love to hear it.
Yeah. This was 20 minutes of research I did just before you arrived today. So that's nice.
Is it by any chance the same team that lined up against Pardon a bit.
Not entirely. No.
At the end of the season half,
there are 5 players that played 11 times or had at least a half. Ooh, 11 times.
11 times. Okay.
Which are the most, by the way.
Yeah. All right. So Pavel Iceman.
No.
Really?
Yeah. Eight appearances for the Iceman.
All right. Shimon Schumbara.
Yes.
Guys, Chris Tufek?
Did not play a single game.
Because he's still injured.
He's still injured, yes.
I thought he might have been back. It shows how much attention I've been paying to in these endlays. All right, Schumbara. I've seen Schumbara quite a lot.
They're mostly unexpected names, I've got to say.
Oh, really? Because one I was going to say was probably definitely not would have been Uncle Vanya.
No, because he only started reappearing after his contract situation had been resolved. He only played 3 times. I think he started all of the games he appeared in, but there were 3 at the end.
Schumbara's not so surprising. There'll be some other ones as well. There'll be like Damian Barish or something like that.
Barish is very high up, yeah. I'll put you out of your misery.
Please
because
do.
I don't think you're going to get them. Honza Sedlak.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because he's Mr. Utility Player. He's played fullback, central midfield. He's filled in at centre-half.
I think he played an entire 90 against Blansko, for example, in those sort of conditions.
Yeah. Adam Folsek.
Uh-huh.
Čermák.
Mm-hmm.
And Hladík, weirdly.
Needs time.
He needs
time to get him up to speed.
Yeah, so it's basically 3 signings from Lišeň. Mm-hmm. Honza Sedlak, Mr. Utility, and Šimon Schumbara, because he loves him.
Mm-hmm.
So those are your
well,
big 5.
Well, Folsek's from Pardubice. At the start of the season.
Sorry, yes, that's right, yeah.
But, like, that's kind of good, though, because I think towards the end of the latter games of the half, we were all singing the praises of Adam Folsek's contribution to the team. So if he's going to be back in and I assume that Schumbara is going to be starting in that midfield as well. So that's kind of good to see, as long as we haven't run them at the ground.
What I think Michalik is trying to do with Folsek is he's trying to get him in, like play him into the form he was last year with Pardubice, where he wasn't an out-and-out winger, which is how he's been playing. He's like against Pardubice, for example, he was given license to just sort of roam around in the gap behind Prikistal. Mm-hmm. So,
which is weird because I would say if you have one person to if you give one person a sort of a roaming duty or whatever, maybe not exactly behind the striker, but that would be something that you give Vanjek because he's just so good on the ball and he can control that centre of the park.
Yeah, but he also does the dropping deep Pavel Zavadil thing. He's more of a deep lying playmaker. The one person who hardly appeared at all was Rusek, but he was injured a lot of the time. He only had one run out.
Yeah,
but I assume we'll see him back anyway. On numbers, I have a side for you in a sort of a 4-5-1, 4-3-3 sort of deal. Floda in goal, because I think he will be starting. A back four of, this is basically our defenders all the way through, Drexler, which I'm fine with.
He's good, actually.
Šural partnering him at centre-half. Sedlak on the right, and Juraj Kutula, who played nearly every game.
Yeah, I take that, actually, to be honest.
Yes, that's fine.
It's an Iceman hole on the left side, but that's fine. You can't play them all the time.
Yeah, but there again, he's an option, if they need a sort of more progressive fullback, I suppose. Midfield of, I've got Schumbara, obviously. Hladík, Čermák, Folsek and Kurška. And then Prikistal up top.
I mean, I like Kurška in there.
Yeah.
I like Kurška, Folsek and Schumbara, but...
Yeah, and then Hladík, Čermák, and so forth. Subs for basically anyone else who made up the rest of it. So if you got a bench of Schuster, obviously, Iceman, Pachlotnik, Barish, Vinter, Martin Sedlak, and David Jurásek, which is fine.
Yeah, as a very brief aside as well, Vinter back.
Yes.
From his sojourn away at the other team.
Yeah. He's looked pretty decent the couple of times we've seen him. Very
scored an absolute cracker when we saw him against the Slovak mob.
Yeah, that's right, against Podbrezova.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That wasn't the one that you were... Because we both missed goals by going to get beer.
I didn't miss it, but I had looked away now.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't, but I did see it on the rerun of the game there. So
screamer.
Yeah, that was nice. Yeah, number 66 there. A couple of outliers. Stepanovski only made one appearance.
Time is coming near.
Yes, I fear it is. Honza Pazla ditto before he got injured for the rest of the season. This has gone very well for him, I've got to say.
I feel genuinely bad for Jan Pazler.
I just really don't know where he fits in the system, really. He's not a bad player. He's just...
Well, I know where he fits, but the problem is that he's just he came on during a sort of a lull of form for other strikers, and then other strikers got better and other people got.
Yeah.
So he just sort of wasn't anywhere, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I think that's him for the rest of the season. Shevchik, we didn't see any. And Mach, is it David Mach? I think maybe made one appearance, and that's him. So that's fun.
He's really young, though, isn't he?
He is, yeah. Yeah, he's a youth teamer, really. So, yeah, that's that. How do you reckon we're looking, generally? Happy with the way things have gone?
About that. Yeah, I'd say, cliches. We'll get the cliches out now, right?
You know
a lot more about a team when they're behind.
Yes.
In sort of friendly games, bounce games, and so on. I think the important thing in the last few games is we haven't had anyone really crocked for the start of the season.
That's true, yeah.
The thing about Rusek is the question is going to be how long he's out for.
Mm.
Because I would imagine, we'll talk about this more when we probably preview the game, I would still imagine, even though there's been some tweaks or whatever, that Zborowka will still be lining up at least initially as a 4-4-2 on Sunday.
Yeah, /4-4-1-1, I guess, yeah, technically, so then, if you're going to call it that.
Yeah, so then what's it going to look like when you don't have your chosen striking partnership of, you know, sort of Przyhisdal and Rusek? What's going to happen there?
Yeah.
But we said that we had the players around November time to make a real challenge on the league. I don't think that's changed.
No, I agree. I mean, I think if that back five is settled, I think, as I said, the back three was just a play around, so you can play a back three of... Because when they were doing it, it was Kotola, Drexler, Shural.
Yeah.
And then, like, Schumbere and Iceman as wing backs,
yeah,
basically. So that was that experiment, which is an option, not a particularly good one. But if that back five of Flodder, Kotola, Drexler, Shural, Sedlak is kind of nailed down, that's sort of fine to me.
Saying that, Barish looked reasonably serviceable playing as a wing back, you know? Playing as a left back. So, you know, that could even happen as well.
Yeah.
Again, questions will always be about Zborowka's defence, because Zborowka's defence has always been so dependent on injury and rotation.
Mm.
It might be enough to get us out of the league if we score enough, because we've always been a second half team and a second half of the season team that scores goals.
This is what we're going to do. If we go up, we're going to score our way up. We're not going to defend our way up.
And then we're going to have an actual defense discussion about having permanent...
Yeah.
A permanent sort of back four with a couple of utilities and rotational players.
Yeah.
Because, like, that back four, as all right as it is for this level, be absolutely eaten alive in the top league.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, so talking of games coming up, do you want to talk about a team who we almost certainly won't be in the same league as next year?
Yes.
Okay, let's do that. It's Sokolov. It's Sokolov. Sokolov, Sokolov. They're going down, aren't they?
Down, down, deeper and down.
Da-na-na-na.
Right, one thing in Banik Sokolov's defence right now, just before we go into any analysis, is that I believe in a certain football podcast about Zborowka Brno, we said the same thing about Viktoria Žižkov.
Yes, but...
This is a...
I'm going to say Banik didn't sign 8,300,000 players over the winter. Did
I'm
they?
Giving him the eyes, listener.
Sign 8,300,000 players. That's not even really a number, but...
We'll get on to that.
I'm going to take that as a yes.
We'll get on to that. Yeah, well, there's nine of them. They got nine players in.
It's a lot of players.
It's a lot of players. Talking about numbers less than nine, just off the top of your head, David, how many times have Banik Sokolov won in the league this season?
Once.
Yes, against Vlashim. Do you know when?
Was it the week after we played Vlashim?
Close, it was August. So
yes,
they have been... dry, let's say.
Yeah. Unlike us when we were there.
Yeah. 7 points right now in the league. They are, off the top of my head, I believe 7 points from safety.
Right.
The other terrible team straight above them is, maybe sadly in some people's eyes, is Vitkovice, who have got 10. And
Cute Badge FC.
Cute Badge FC. And then there is a real sort of, you know, sort of jump there, because then you have 14 points and 15s and so on. So how has Banik Sokolov's break been? Depressing. No, it's been okay.
That's what happens when you live in Sokolov.
Sure. Highlights of the preseason include getting thumped by Pilsen 6-0.
It's not unexpected.
Thinking that was a bit too much, then playing Pilsen's B team a week later and drawing 2-each. Loved that. I enjoyed that one. More encouraging, though, is beating Ustin Khrudim preseason as well. Again, you can't really read too much stuff into it. But the stats on Banik Sokolov are clear. They are the lowest scorers in the league, albeit not by much. And only Varnsdorf have conceded more.
Yes.
So it looks like even Standa Vavra, you know, has not been able to pull that team up by the bootstraps. And
you mean even Standa Vavra? Certainly Standa Vavra has not been able to pull that team up by its bootstraps. I don't think he could find the bootstraps. Yeah.
I mean, one thing about Banik Sokolov, right, is that when your centre-back's your top scorer, something's up. So, So
top scorer was, do we have a number?
3 goals.
Good.
I think they've scored something like 10.
Right.
10 or 11.
Yeah.
I think so. Roll the dice time, the same as Zizkov did last season.
Yeah.
So nothing to lose, right? Really, they are obviously almost all going to be until summer only. Banik Sokolov are one of the poorer teams in the league. I would have them actually, Usti as well, Khrudim as being the ones who don't have as much money to play around with, and they are, as expected, like Zizkov, all over the park. So they're looking for a real sort of like a variety of players that they can try
just
to kick on
throw
with.
Throw names and see what sticks.
Tomasz Frisztak, you might know.
I do not.
Former Bohemka goalkeeper.
What's a Frisztak? That's a They Might Be Giants reference there for nobody. Me.
So yeah, Frisztak's in, played 7 times for the Klokani this season and conceded 13 with 1 clean sheet. They'll be hoping he does a bit better than that.
Good effort.
Like, a lot of their players have been like coming from sort of B teams or coming from the setups at bigger clubs who are not breaking in. So the people that they've got have got already this season, like, say, you know, at least half a dozen MSFL or CHETFL games amongst them. Actually, perhaps the most interesting is Opava's Budzi Manzia. His name is BJ Manzia.
BJ?
Yeah.
As in the letter B and the letter J?
B-I-D-J-E, BJ.
Uh-huh, okay.
Or, depending on where you look online, Budjay or Budjay. So it's one of these sort of names.
Should be flying with him in the squad.
Yeah, well, he's known. Is what he had a full season with Sigma Olomouc about 2 seasons ago.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He has been capped twice for the Democratic Republic of the Congo,
good.
David. So he's on the right wing or whatever. He might have a couple of goals. Who knows? As it is fashionable these days, it used to be having a Brazilian was really fashionable for these leagues, right?
Yeah, but I mean, that's just, you know, unattainable beauty standards.
Sure, so this is why South Korea has come through.
right?
So every team has half the teams in the league have a South Korean now, don't they?
That's true, yeah.
So, yes, Kang Hyun-yu, who is a centre-forward for Slovan Liberec B.
Oh, wow.
So he's in there as well.
Yeah.
And
hello, you.
Yeah, so again, Judy's out on
making
this.
So many puns and you're missing them all. This is dreadful. Come on, there was the Brazilian one, there was you, there was Budgie flying. Come on.
My
you're focusing so hard on the green pen.
It's my time, because I can't read the green pen, David.
I know, I can see that.
It's like, contrary to rumours that fly about the internet, I'm not sad enough to have followed everything that Banik did over the winter break. Suffice to say,
followed some of it.
A little. What's going to be really key for this team is going to be the next few weeks, because they have got Slavoj Vyšehrad and Vlašim.
Okay.
Before they take on Pardubice. And mercifully afterwards, they have a pretty poor Prostějov. as well.
It's one of those where from five games, 4 or 6 points would be great.
Yeah.
From those, if they can, because like us and Pardubitz are, I would hope, are write-offs.
Three hits.
Yeah, and then three games against people.
Yeah.
In and around.
Vlashim is the only team they've beaten this season.
Yeah.
And all of these are, well, I think some of these are bad teams, maybe a bit too good to go down. Prostyov, for example.
Yeah.
But if you beat those sort of teams, those are the ones you really haul yourselves up on. It's not going to be about whether or not they can, you know, like get a 90th minute winner away to Hradec Králové or Dukla.
Yeah.
It's going to be about if they can put in a drilled performance and beat Chrudim or beat Varnsdorf or something like that.
It's not going to be pretty, but that's how it's going to be done, isn't it? It's going to be horrible, scrappy, nicking points against relegation rivals and then shutting up shop and attempting nil-nils against big teams.
This is it. Like I'd like to hear your thoughts on this particularly, but on Sunday, it's going to be, you know, 5 o'clock kickoff, whatever. We can't really predict whether the weather's not been that good this week. Could mean that the pitch is going to be a bit heavy. I don't
the
think
the pitch didn't look good against Pardubitz, I've got to say.
And I don't think that a team like Sokolov are going to let Zbrojovka really play.
Absolutely not. They're going to sit as deep as possible and play for the 0-0. I think that's what's going to happen. I can't see them doing anything different, to be honest, because, yeah, as we have already talked about, we've been swashbuckling our way forward and just attempting to batter people. Uh-huh. And if they can sit deep and, I mean, I don't know how good their counter-attacking talent is. Probably they don't know really themselves yet. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, unknown quantity. I would be optimistic but slightly wary because if you remember the first game of the season, we went into Vlashim thinking we're going to batter this mob.
Mm-hmm.
You know, scored early on. Everyone was going, 3-0, this easy.
Yeah.
2-2 it was. So, I mean, I don't think we're going to be like that, but, you know, it pays to be circumspect slightly. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't really want to be coming away from this with a 4-0 Zbrojovka win. I'd rather be coming away with this with like a, you know, a serviceable 1 or 2-0 victory with nobody injured, everyone still reasonably fresh for what is going to be a much tougher game the weekend after.
Yes, I would agree with that. No complaint. Because Michalek's moan after Pardubice was complacency and people not trying, and just because it's a friendly, that's no excuse for not putting a shift in. So you don't want that to start creeping in.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Got anything else, or shall we move on to
We can move on to a section. That's all I have for Bannock Sokolov.
We can hot or not if you fancy that.
Let's hot or not.
Let's do that. It's
hot or not.
Hello. Hot or not. You've just looked at a hot on your phone.
Absolutely. This was going to be my hot anyway. But thrillingly, we can do this semi-live.
Yes.
Well, live for this time, because you'll be seeing this on Wednesday.
Yes, if I get it done. Yeah. Or whenever you listen to this podcast, available on all good places where you get your audio, listener.
Indeed. If you have any complaints about the audio quality tonight,
Rothcast@gmail.com.
Absolutely.
What's your hot, Sam?
My hot is Nations League, David. Nations League draws today.
And what's happened just now then?
Well, what I've just found out right now is that Scotland have been drawn in a group where we got promoted because we're in the elite now, so we're in B. We've got the Czech Republic and Slovakia.
Wallop.
Israel. But Czech Republic and Slovakia is fantastic. For our friends at the Blansko Klobasa who'll know this already, it's Wales, Finland, Ireland, Bulgaria, which also looks like some fun.
Mm. Yeah. That's good, yeah. Lovely.
So I'll absolutely take that. Unfortunately, peaks and troughs, being a Scotland supporter...
I thought we were playing peaks and troughs.
But also, it's like it's damn near impossible for me to get a Scotland ticket in the actual away supporting end. So I'm going to have to go undercover or try and put on an accent.
Right.
Yes. And see how we go. But I'd love to have a couple of those, couple of trips there. Mm. That would be really cool. Generally, I wasn't expecting to have the actual draw now for the recording, but I was going to say that it's one thing that UEFA have done that I think has actually been successful is the Nations League.
Yeah, it's been all right. It's added a bit of jeopardy to what would normally be friendlies.
Stopped a lot of meaningless friendlies, yeah. And I like the idea that a team from the lower regions of the rankings has a chance to get into a tournament.
Yes.
And I know that's going to really upset purists who think that the greatest thing ever is Germany, Spain, or whatever.
Bollocks. I like the small teams coming in.
How much fun was Latvia in the Euros when Latvia was in?
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff. That's my hot.
Good. Well, I've got a hot. Sure. Actually, you suggested Coventry going top of the league,
yes.
Didn't you? Which is a hot. But if you had seen the game where they played Sunderland, as we did on Sunday, it was very much not a classic.
Man, we wouldn't be friends if there wasn't this podcast. Tedious.
It was tedious. But Coventry go top of the league. That's all I want to say about that, because we might jinx it otherwise. What my hot was going to be was fan protests about Dietmar Hopp in the Bundesliga, because I thought that was quite funny. My not is going to be related to this. My hot, I'm going to say, is fans protesting against Dietmar Hopp.
Yeah.
My not, you see what happened,
yeah.
Is what happened about that. You've probably seen this already. This was big news over the weekend. Bayern Munich playing Hoffenheim, of whom Dietmar Hopp is the chairman and majority shareholder, actually.
Oligarch.
Yes, oligarch, let's say. And this circumvents the 50+1 rule that should be legally binding in German football. It's Hoffenheim and the club which a lot of fans groups refer to as the Leipzig organization, which is very nicely worded. People also talk about the exceptions to the 50 plus one rule, by the way, meaning that that fans should be majority shareholders of mm-hmm. the club, and that no corporate entity should be able to buy into it. People always shout about Wolfsburg and Leverkusen against these, because Wolfsburg VW and Leverkusen Bayer, but they were teams that were built from the factories.
Historical factory teams, so, yeah.
That's, they were sort of granted an exception, and neither of those are actually run or sort of like majoritarily funded by those organisations. Anyway, my point is, Bayern Munich unveiled a massive banner calling Dietmar Hopp a son of a whore, related to the fact that Dortmund, who have been very vocal about this sort of thing, unveiled a banner calling him the same. And Hopp has banned any Dortmund fans from coming to see games in Hoffenheim for 2 years, which is a
measured response.
Measured response, yes. Anyway, this banner went up calling Dietmar Hopp a son of a whore. And the referee, for the first time ever in German football, I think, invoked the protocol that should be used for instances of racist abuse.
Yeah.
I.e. he halted the match, called both teams off the pitch. They had a discussion and decided to go back on and play the remaining 13 minutes just passing the ball around between each other. It was basically nullified as a contest. At this point, Bayern Munich were winning 6-0,
yeah,
so it's fairly moot.
Yeah, it wasn't a contest anyway.
However, this sort of thing happening when only the previous week a player from Werder Bremen, I believe, had been racially abused from the stands and nothing happened, despite the fact he complained to the referee anyway and the game continued, is a disgusting example of, and I believe I quote the headline correctly, I can't remember where I saw it, but millionaire footballers defending billionaires. Which is a pretty succinct way of putting it. Bayern Munich immediately came out and said they supported Dietmar Hopp, as did the league, because the company he owns, SAP, are major sponsors of the Bundesliga. Unsurprising there. And the most bizarre thing about it was in one of the tabloid newspapers in England, Stan Collymore, never knowingly sensible, apparently didn't read this. He said it was a great thing for Germany to do because it was an excellent way of combating racism, and I can't believe they haven't done it in Britain because of all our racist incidents sooner. He clearly had no idea what was going on.
Was there not, just to play devil's advocate, and not in the usual way, where people that say, can they play devil's advocate, are just saying, can I be racist or be this or whatever. But I was under the impression that it wasn't that banner that made them stop the match. It was one that had Hopp's face in the middle of a sniper's target.
No, that was actually the Dortmund one, I think, that... was that Dortmund or was that Bayern? Because there was one banner that actually... the players remonstrated with the fans and they took it down. Mm-hmm. I think that might have been Dortmund last week. But Union Berlin also got in on the act. Yeah. On Sunday, they played and they also had a banner lambasting Dietmar Hopp. So it's a not uncommon thing. There was a very good press a statement released by the Red Fanatic, which is Bayern Munich's main ultras group, very sensibly and succinctly worded, which I didn't print out stupidly. But yeah, the whole thing is, rather than the kind of, you know, Bundesliga being the kind of last bastion of, you know, fan friendliness and sense, this is, yeah, this is a very sad thing to have happened.
Well, yeah, I mean, because German fans often coordinate in these sort of things. I look at the work that they did to stop Monday night games.
It's a very interesting thing about German football. You would think Bayern Munich and Dortmund being massive rivals on the pitch, and when Bayern constantly nicking Dortmund's players and so forth, their fans do seem to be pulling in the same direction for the good of all fandom, etc. They are in great solidarity with each other with this, which is unusual and encouraging. Apart from when things like this happen, which undermine the whole thing, because apparently billionaires are allowed to do whatever the hell they want. Anyway, do you have a knot? That rambled on for slightly longer than I meant, but...
It's all good.
Do you have a knot?
So we're just coming... You're back into things,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, back into
just
things, listener.
And on a theme, I believe that this is maybe the third or fourth. I think it's the fourth time that this has been one of my knots. David, my knot this time is Sparta Prague.
Hey! Is this a genuine knot or like a lol?
This is Václav Kotel, Václav Kotel's Sparta Prague.
Václav Kotel's Sparta Prague.
Yes, who has started off his managerialship with a 1-0 loss to Sigma Olomouc away.
Olomouc's not doing well, by the way.
followed by, you know who's doing even worse than Sigma Olomouc?
Not many people, but
Fastabs Lane aren't doing very well, and they led them twice before drawing 2-2.
Superb.
They get a little bit of... leeway because Sparta were down to 10 men after half an hour. But they took the lead twice, David.
Yeah.
Basket case of a club. How many managers have they had in 2 years?
Ooh, in 2 years?
In 2 years.
I'm going to say 5.
You're absolutely right. It's been 5, including one guy, I forgot his name, whatever, that lasted a grand total of 2 months.
Good. Lovely to see.
Very worrying times for Sparta, particularly...
Very hilarious times for Sparta.
a real prisoner's dilemma comes tomorrow, though, because tomorrow, or tonight if you're listening, Sparta will be taking on Banik Ostrava in the quarterfinals of the Pohár. So they could very easily lose that. Banik are having one hell of a season.
They are.
At least one Bannock's doing well, right?
Yeah.
So that could very easily be a defeat again for Sparta. And with the nature of their very unstable, I'm using that term generously, fan base, there could be some real fireworks. And I will very, very much laugh if teams like Česká Budějovice, who have something like a 20th of their budget, are able to finish above them.
Yeah.
Get fucked.
You're also using the term fireworks very literally, I think.
I mean, anything that gives me a chance to troll that Sparta Prague English language Twitter account further is all okay by me.
Oh, very quickly, on the mention of Zlín, we should also mention the lesser-spotted Robert Bartolomeu moving to Blansko.
Great. That's signing thing. For Blansko.
Yes. I was thinking about this morning, actually. Rob Bartolomeu, from 2.5 years ago, scoring the goal that sent Zlín into the Europa League, to, no offence to Blansko, but, you know, joining the Czech Regional League, is personally, that's a hell of a fall. It's a shame, because he's a, you know...
I think that Robert Bartolomeu has been somehow... I think that a lot of this has been Schuster.
Yes.
Just basically,
he never fancied him.
Destroyed a bit of what was a quite a good player for a long time. This will build up his confidence again to go on to something bigger and better, maybe.
I can't wait to see him turning out for Blansko. I think that's a real...
He'll be really good. And we'll be definitely trying to see more of our friends at the Blansko Klobasa, who you should follow on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram or whatever, for some Blansko games.
Yes.
Because a real chance he could come up to the second tier. Renaissance of South Moravian football, except Neumo, is, you know, full steam ahead.
Indeed. Talking of full steam ahead, beer of the podcast?
Absolutely.
Good. Beer of the podcast. Dun dun. Baby, it's the beer of the podcast. Dun dun. Here's something you should get down your neck. Come on, beat and drink the beer of the podcast. Come on, get it down.
David, was that Bachman Turner Overdrive's You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet?
It certainly was. Well guessed. If you got that, listener, well done. We might be making that a regular thing. Singing Beer of the Podcast to popular tunes and playing Guess That Beer of the Podcast bass tune. So that's fun, isn't it?
Great.
There was just, you can't see this, but that great was met by just desperation in the eyes there for a moment. Great! Just a grin frozen on his face.
Another thing I'm going to have to fucking think up before doing this podcast, you know, in the back of a fag packet.
So what have we got anyway?
We don't have a beer, David.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't.
Do we not?
We have, for one time only, we have a cider of the podcast.
Cider of the podcast! Oh, what? David's
band played Rock and Roll Heaven, which is exactly next door to me.
Yes.
And I was drinking some a cider there. When I was watching you play.
You got some cider inside your inside.
And the dude was like, we've got a better cider.
Oh yeah.
And it's 750ml. It's a big bottle. And I was just going to go, so I was really into that. And we even spoke. We even spoke about maybe even getting it for a beer of the podcast.
That's true, we did.
So here we
go. Here it is.
Here is cidre. What's 99 in French?
Quatre-vingt-dix-neuf.
Because I think it's cidre 99, because it says that it's a cider of the French type.
Yes,
which means like Western France probably. So the ciders you get in Brittany and Normandy,
right?
Which are very good ciders, very earthy ciders.
Okay.
Very dry.
Not really a cider.
You're not a cider drinker. You don't drink it every day.
No, oura.
But it's made with Moravian apples as well, so it's local.
It certainly is suki. It says so on there, so it will be dry. Yeah.
So it's from Roštín.
I know where that is.
Moravia somewhere. Okay, maybe. I don't know. So yeah, I thought we'd give this a go. This is for 750ml.
Yes.
Of probably a small batch sort of thing, and quite strong.
6.6%.
6.6%. I thought that 99 Czech crowns in
that's
a
very good
bar.
Yes.
So I bought this from the bar and said, "Can I take this away?" Isn't too bad.
That's actually so, very reasonable.
So you're actually going to get we're going to smell it, and it's not just going to smell of lager.
Yeah. Well, here we go then. So sink. Yeah.
That smells exactly like a...
It smells of very violently of dry cider. It
smells exactly like a French cider.
Yeah, which is convenient, I suppose. That's what it is. I'm going to let Sam have a go, because I don't know jack about cider, so...
That is dry. Oh, that's quality. That's great, because my one criticism of a lot of Czech cider, I drink a lot of Czech cider because it's the best breakfast drink on a train to a match.
It is, yes, it, that's true.
Often I find it just so sweet. And like
that
a, like
is very
a juice.
Dry, yeah.
This is the sort of cider that I'll drink in the pub when I'm back in the UK and at home and things, because I really like ciders. And I think that's fantastic for its price.
Yeah, it's very non so much sugar it'd stick to your teeth. Which
it's
is how a lot of the Czech ciders are. So
it's a really dry finish.
That's nice. It's tasty.
Very into that. I might buy another bottle on the way home.
Mm. Yeah. It's sort of, I was going to say it's pinkish in colour, but that's my fingers behind the glass.
It looks like cloudy piss. Like, as well, most ciders should. Like, any of the sort of scrumpies and things like that that you'll get, they should have that sort of colour. Because remember, if it's clear and yellow, you've got cider there, fella. If it's tangy and brown, I've done it the wrong way around.
Yeah, you have. Yeah.
First podcast back for a while.
Oh, well,
you know?
There we go. So, yeah, that's nice, isn't it? That's very pleasant. Very tasty. I love that. Yeah. Ustinad Laben.
Indeed.
Well, we'll be going up there at some point. We don't know which day it's going to be on yet. It's listed as Saturday, but...
mooted for a Saturday.
Good. Mooted. Yes, lovely. Yeah, it's a moo point.
It's just moo.
It's like what a cow thinks. Doesn't matter. It's moo. Anyway, we're going to be talking about them.
I can just hear us losing followers at this point.
We're going to be talking about them after this. With a preview of Ustinad Laben, which hopefully we are going to go to. We promised ourselves one long trip this season, didn't we? So hopefully this will be that.
Usti's great fun.
It is good fun. Not a massive, not one on many people's Czech Republic bucket list, but it's a fun town.
It's a fun town. It's a big town. People live there. It's real in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
It's not just any of this, go and see the Bone Church.
Yeah, exactly. It's a living, working, breathing sort of town. Not the most attractive, but interesting.
Yes.
Interesting place. Good castle.
Only place I've found in the Czech Republic does a doner kebab pizza.
Yes, which you reminded me of when we were talking about, going up to Usti, night out in Usti, and you just went, kebab pizza!
Hannah's like, you never shut up about food. It's like, yeah, I know.
You can take the man out of Scotland, etc., but... kebab pizza!
Sadly, it remains undeep fried.
they'll learn. So, what do we know about FK, FC, SK, Ustinad Laben?
Well, we know that FK, Ustinad Laben are a team that we should really have done better against last season. I think we drew with them twice.
We did.
The first game, which was away, which was up in the... what do you call it again? The North Bohemian Brown Coal Basin.
Brown Coal Basin.
Yeah, that was a great game in the sense that we were 2-0 up. We never looked like we were going to take anything from the game after that at all. We got very lucky out of there. They're doing fine, basically. They're seventh. They're in this sort of around it with a bunch of teams like Zhizhkov and so on that aren't threatening the top four yet, but you get a couple of points and then you're on your way. They are, I think, 6 points off third, which is our
fair enough
where we
are.
So
they're just doing well enough to be quite a major irritation when we have to play them.
Yeah. I mean, nothing really spectacular from their winter friendlies. They had a fun 3-3 draw with Sparta's A team. Lost to Banik, as we discussed. What I find kind of interesting is that, unless I've done some really bad research this week, I don't think they've made any signings.
Oh, okay.
Which might point to their usual sort of financial position, or whether or not they'd be absolutely fine with just maintaining this.
I think they'd probably be absolutely fine with just maintaining this, because, well, I mean, previously they've sort of had people on loan from Teplice and sort of local teams, but I think that, as we said last year, I don't think they want to go up, really. I don't think they'd be able to do it.
We were discussing this, I think, at the time, that it looked like they might just be able to when they were top of the league. Around, I think, probably last October or the October before that, yeah. even. But yeah, they'll be finishing where they are now. They'll be finishing about 7th mm-hmm. or 8th, I think. Yuba Drame, he's been scoring quite a few over the piece. I think he's had like 4 in the last 3 games or something like that. Friendlies. Yeah. He's always been a half decent player. We highlighted him last time as well. Also, you'll be pleased to know that it was also quite a good winter friendlies time for Shirley's son.
Oh, Fortune Bassey.
Fortune Bassey hit the net a few times.
Good.
They are, from what we know of them from seasons past, and indeed seasons this, because we had another 2-all draw with them.
We did, yeah.
Which should never have been a 2-all draw. We were far better than them. Is that they're a very well organised side.
Yes.
And they do have... little bits of sort of flair in a while, but they are, you know, sort of they're a good watch. They get into quite a number of quite interesting games.
Mm-hmm.
One friendly, which I kind of wish was on like one of, you know, the second league club's version of Zbrojovka TV, looked like a cracking 5-4 5-4 defeat by Jihlava.
Oh wow, that's fun.
Which would be, and that was just last weekend. So
cool. All right.
They've got goals in them.
They have.
They concede a lot more than they have been last season, but that's the one that I'm worried about. I'm not really worried about Sokolov, but that's the one where I can just see us just going away and just absolutely just
tanking.
Losing it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be entertaining if nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that.
Fantastic wee Pivovar.
Yes.
Fantastic bigger Pivovar as well. There's the other one in the old stone building, the brewery.
There is, yeah. Decent food, good beer there, and we'll definitely be popping into Tiny Pivovar, whose name I forget.
Ustetska Pivovar.
Oh, is it just as simple as that?
Yeah, actually, okay. I'll tell you exactly, because it's on a sticker in the back of my work phone.
I've still got the sticker in my wallet, actually.
Ustetska Pivoteka.
Okay, fair enough, with a picture of 6 beer taps on it, so that's nice. They were lovely last time, weren't they? And hopefully if we can get the same Airbnb, that'll be good.
Yeah.
Fridge full of beers.
Two beers.
It's back. We're back. We're going. We're all good. We're all revved up for the season. I hope you are. Or the second half of the season. I hope you are, listener.
It does feel like the start of the season because
It's been so long.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. As always, please let us know if you're planning to take in a Zbrojovka game. We'd be happy to discuss things over a beer with you, or to join us in our bit.
In our bit, yeah. Top of N, is it?
K L
L M. No, it's N because it's L is where the masses are.
Uh-huh. Oh, of course, over, yeah.
So yeah, top of N. Yeah. Look for the Gentleman Ultras banner go up.
If you're supporting another team, please keep us up to date with how your team's doing at Zbrojovcast on Facebook, Zbrojovcast on Twitter.
Yes.
If you happen to support Sparta Prague, you can tell us your updates of your team to zbrojovcast@gmail.com.
Although, I think we'd quite like to hear them. Because, you know, it's not going well. So.
R-E, oh, Boże.
Yeah. To play us out, I found this bizarre thing. I'm a Formula One fan, as you know. Sam is not a Formula One fan. No. However, last week I was put in the direction of 1997 World Champion Jacques Villeneuve, who 10 years later decided he would release a pop album. That went under my radar, and indeed everyone's radar. You said you could totally hear this being a French Eurovision.
Yeah, like one of the songs that gets fifth place in their selection program but doesn't go at the contest.
Right.
That sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah, so in a change to the advertised schedule, this will not be a regular thing, by the way, but we're going to play out with former Formula One champion and now professional media irritant Jacques Villeneuve with Vagabond. So enjoy this.
Au revoir.
Chasse l'ennui, une étreinte brève. Les hommes de tes nuits sont pas ceux de tes rêves. Le temps d'un baiser qui réchauffe un peu. Le corps apaisé, tu reprends tes creux. Vaguement, vaguement, t'es pas certaine. Vaguement, le fond de tes pensées, personne ne les connaît. Mais quelle importance, tout bouge, recommence. Toi tu veux seulement des voyages plus lents. Que le sont nos jours, nos histoires d'amour. Vaguement, tu te déchaînes, mais ça te rend sereine. Vaguement, pour tes conquêtes, le sourire des vagues, la musique secrète qui se fout des algues. Tu ouvres et tu fermes tes portes sur personne. T'as pas en je t'aime de futur qui résonne. Vaguement, vaguement, t'es pas certaine. Vaguement, de tes pensées, personne ne les connaît. Mais quelle importance, tout bouge, recommence. Toi tu veux seulement des voyages plus lents. Que le sont nos jours, nos histoires d'amour. Vaguement, tu te déchaînes, ça te rend sereine. Le fond de tes pensées, personne ne les connaît. Mais quelle importance, tout bouge, recommence. Toi tu veux seulement des voyages.